Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves. And today, as promised, we are talking about tax justice again. And we're talking about tax justice because we've seen moves within the global community to combat. I'm going to use the word combat. I don't know if our guest will use the word combat, but to start tackling perhaps tax abuse. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Martin McMahon. Martin, it's like I only saw you 15 minutes ago. How are you?
It is, Tony, but this is an important subject and one which we've been talking about for a very long time. So it's good to have this conversation.
It is really, it's really positive. Ireland has a big plays a role in this, so we need to talk about it and we need to be honest about that. We are delighted to be joined on the podcast by Graziella David, who is the head of advocacy and campaigning with the Global Alliance for Tax Justice, and you've heard her on the podcast previously. We've gotten you out of bed in Brazil at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Graziella, how are you keeping?
Hi, Tony. Hi, Martin. It's really nice to be with you. I'm actually doing fine, and it's a pleasure to talk with you about this subject.
Yeah, if you listen to the last podcast we did with Graziella, you will know that no one has a more bigger concept, understands the concept of what we call now tax abuse, because we were educated in that way. Graziella, you might give our listeners a sense of yesterday's developments within the G7 and what the Global Alliance for Tax Justice think that means in terms of how things have moved on or haven't moved on, more importantly, in your case.
Well, by the moment, what we're seeing is that everybody's celebrating a lot, especially the big media everywhere, including in countries like Brazil. And everybody's saying, this is such a historic move. We're going to have a global minimum corporate tax. We've agreed on a minimum rate. And is that important? For sure it is. That's something that everybody have been asking for. For years, the global tax justice movement has been saying we do need a global minimum corporate tax. We do need them to agree on a minimum rate. But how we do things is quite important. And the way things are being done, it's not good. And that's what we're trying to raise our voices and explain why the way is not good.
Well, if you could just tell us, you did a thread on social media explaining this, and for the benefit of listeners, it was obviously in Portuguese, but I translated it at the outset of it. But if you want to explain why it's not a historic moment in your opinion, and why it's not as good as people are reporting that it is.
Yeah, first, I guess that I would change the word historic for possible. It's just an announcement, so nothing has happened. I wouldn't call that historical. The day that this happens in a fair way, I would call that quite historical. But for now, I would say it's possible, which is good. For years, we were saying we do need a global minimum corporate tax with a good minimum rate. And we have had a good move on this direction. So what the G7 has said is, you were right, it is possible. Because for many years, what we heard is, no, this is impossible. So it's a change. It is possible. Thank you for saying that. But the way that you plan to do, it's going to actually be quite unfair with the global South countries, the ones who usually are low and middle income countries. Why is that? Because when they are saying that they agree on a minimum rate of 15%, and they are agreeing with what is being discussed at the OECD, they are actually saying that they are going to have the tax to right to the writing. How do I say that? The right to tax. Who is going to be able to tax? Mostly will be the global north countries, the ones who have high income, because they are saying that the methodology to calculate this tax is based on where the headquarters of the multinationals are. Where are they? Most of them are based in the global north countries. Many consumers of this are on the global north because they are richer. But when we look where the real economy is, like where are employees, where are another assets, where is the minimal subtract for the companies, a lot of that is in the global south. And that's not being considered. So that's why I'm saying it's quite unfair.
You did point out that it was going to fall predominantly on the poorer income countries, and we use that term as loosely, as broadly as we can, because but how does, so just to kind of explain that to listeners, what we're effectively saying is that the injustice within this new deal doesn't really impact the global north as much as it does the global south. It's in these new rules, in effect. If this is to come into power, the impact won't be felt as much, say, in Germany as it would be in Brazil.
Well, let's imagine a situation. Let's imagine that we have a line, and we have low income countries, middle income, high income, and big corporations, these multinationals ones. So for the moment, what was happening around the world? Because of the use of tax abuse and tax havens, multinationals were being able to allocate their profits in the tax havens and don't pay taxes anywhere.
Just going to stop the podcast there, and it's the old deal. Show us the money. We're putting out this work. We need to be able to fund it, to get it out there. Now, the only way we're going to do that is with patrons. If you're listening and you have a few bob, you kind of owe it to pay back, don't you? So become a patron. Patreon.com/tortoiseshack. That's just it, really, Tony, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's quite simple. But I will say, and I know this sounds really funny, you get a lot for your money. For a couple of quid, you get a consolidated feed. So all of the podcasts on the platform come to you in one feed, wherever your player is. You won't miss one. You'll be able to get all your favorite pods in one place. And you get actual invitations to the live online pods that we do, our Sunday show. We're coming up on our 45th live Sunday show, Martin. And the guests we've had have been extraordinary. The audience is always so engaging, so active. So look, if you enjoy what we do, help us keep going. It's that simple. We are truly independent. Like there's no ads, there's no sponsors, there's nobody in the background, there's no sugar daddy. You know, we need people to put their hands in their pocket to keep this platform running, because it is a platform. It's become a hub for so many other stories that wouldn't necessarily get out there. And you can help us keep going. Patreon.com/tortoiseshack. We'll let you go back to your podcast now. Thank you.
Well, let's imagine a situation. Let's imagine that we have a line, and we have low-income countries, middle-income, high-income, and big corporations, these multinationals ones. So for the moment, what was happening around the world? Because of the use of tax abuse and tax havens, multinationals were being able to allocate their profits in the tax havens and don't pay taxes anywhere. At the beginning, they weren't able to pay taxes in the global south countries. And then they kind of moved on, and they were able to not pay taxes anywhere. So for the first time, the global north countries were being affected. That's why they said, okay, let's talk about this. This is something we've been talking for a long time. And then when they were heard, they said, let's talk about this. They decided to talk. They've proven that what we said that was necessary to do can be done. It's possible, but they are going to fix just a little. That's what I said on the thread. I said, this is just a ceiling. It's not an end to tax abuse. So what they agreed yesterday was like, wait, you can keep using tax havens. You can still have some tax abuse, but you have this ceiling. You can't hurt us so much. So we're going to have a global minimal corporate tax with a 15% rate in a way that you don't hurt us, the global north countries, the rich ones, so much. Actually, with this percentage, you're going to redistribute some part of your profit with us. But there is nothing more to do with the low-income and middle-income countries, because they are not the headquarters of the multinationals. So why should the global south countries accept a deal like this, an agreement like this, that will not benefit them, might benefit a little bit the global north ones, but actually hurt us and increase inequality between countries?
Just, I think what's important for listeners to understand is that this is, when from an Irish perspective, this was reported as this, as you said, when we a historic moment. This is the beginning of the turning of the tide of, because we've spoken recently, and we spoke to John Schwartz of The Intercept in the US, and he spoke about President Joe Biden's ideas and how he wanted to try and to start to tackle this. But he's obviously tackling this from a US perspective, that, you know, he's thinking about it as a, in a domestic matter, not more so than on a global scale. So in effect, is this just another way of continuing what we call extractivism, whereby the South extracts from the North extracts from the South? Is this just another model of that?
Well, I would say that yes. And besides that, it's a way of saying to corporations, you can extract from the global South, but not so much from the global North.
Is there a fairer way for it to be done?
Yes, there is. Thank you for asking that, because sometimes when we are pointing out the problems, people say, oh, you are so pessimist. You just point out the bad things. Aren't you able to see good things? Yes, yes, for sure we are able to see good things. And we do have suggestions for make this a fair thing. So the first thing to say is, yes, we do need a global minimum corporate tax. And we do need them to agree on a minimum rate. We just need them to adapt and make this fair for everyone. How that could be done? The first thing is that the country-by-country report by multinationals should be global. Last week, the European Council had voted on a country-by-country report. And what they agreed was that the multinationals had to do it just for the countries from the European Union and for the countries that are tax havens, but they are on the OECD list. And that's a very limited list, actually.
It is a very limited list.
Yeah, so can you imagine this? All the multinationals have to do is allocate their profits in countries that are tax haven, but are not on the OECD list. And they will be able to keep doing what they are doing. So what we need is for all countries to say we need a global corporate, a global country by country report. And for all countries to be able to say that and agree on that and actually bring this global perspective is to move this discussion from about the international tax reform from the G7, the G20, the OECD, the club of the rich countries to a real global space. Like the UN, why don't we have a tax body at the UN, the United Nations, to discuss this and agree on this kind of stuff? So a global country-by-country report, the global minimum corporate tax, but this has to be with a good and appropriate rate. So instead of 15%, it should be 25%. And that actually would be good for national companies, because at the moment, multinational companies are not playing, we don't have a fair playing, let's say.
Yes, it's not a level, it's not a level playing field. And
yes, thank you. and we also need to have a formula that will calculate how we distribute this global profit to all countries. So instead of just considering which headquarters of the multinationals, they must consider where sales are done, where the employers are, and where the assets are. So if we do have that, that's going to be quite historical.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's really where they extract the profits from. I mean, if the profits are being extracted from Brazil, well, that's where the majority of the corporate tax should go. I mean, and we've discussed this, Tony, in the past, Ireland has a lot of brass plates, but very few employees. So we're getting a disproportionate amount compared to the amount of people that are actually working in any industry in this country.
Graciela, on the Ireland obviously had a facility that, you know, we transfer pricing, and we were told that transfer pricing was going to be cut down on, that it would make it difficult, that, and this move that the G7 were going to do was going to mean that, as Martin said, where the product or the sale occurs, that's where the actual tax will be paid. But this is not really what's included in this. This is just an agreement amongst powerful countries, really, that they will all get their 15%. It does feel very like it strikes me that people are saying, well, look, it's good because it's a change in direction, and we should accept that, we should be grateful that it's a change in direction. But it's easy for me to say it's a change in direction sitting in Ireland. Whereas if I was sitting in Kenya and Nairobi, and I'm thinking this isn't really a change in direction for me, because it means that my economy is not going to really benefit, and Ireland will continue. Like, Ireland's tax rate is 12.5%. And our effective tax rate, as you're probably aware of, for a lot of our companies, is, you know, 1% and less. So we had a story this week of Microsoft putting through $22 billion and paying no tax. We've had Monster Energy, everybody who drinks the can of Monster Energy, putting $3.7 billion through Ireland, paying no tax, because we use the new intellectual property exchanges and the loans that they're doing between companies. And Ireland is again facilitating that, along with Luxembourg and some other countries. How do we get the message through that this is actually, even though people are, as you said, the media have said this is historic, how do we get the message through that it's only historic insofar as that it makes them look like they've taken steps that aren't actually going to, that still won't impact the status quo? Is that fair?
Well, I think it's fair to say that. It's like, it's, how, let's think about this. It's like, they are doing something, they are announcing something that has been requested for so much time that it does seem something big. But when we look at the details, and usually that's where the devil lives, right? In the details, it's actually not that good, and not, at least not for everyone. And let's be honest, normally big changes in lives and in moments in history, they aren't so easily accepted. They actually require a lot of fight. And it's weird to see how some multinationals and some leaders are reacting to this, like, oh yeah, it's a good thing.
But it is a global north solution to a global problem, but it only really benefits the global north. So I'm quite sure they're quite happy to leave it at that. I mean, it is a wall that has come down. There, it is worth saying that it is a wall that has come down, but it's, nobody has stepped across the ruins of the wall yet and said, this is what we should be doing. How do you compel the northern countries to actually be fair about this?
Well, I guess that this is a hard question. Before the pandemic, and actually at the beginning, everybody was saying like, oh, the pandemic is global, it's everybody's problem, we need to find a global solution. And at the beginning, I truly believed that. But when we got to the vaccine situation, I must confess that I'm losing a little bit of faith, because it's quite unfair how vaccines are being distributed. And it seems like on this discussion about tax, we are seeing the same situation. It's like, we are going to save ourselves. We are going to put a limit on the extraction of profits and income from corporations to us. But for the global South countries, we don't care so much.
I think that's a really, really good analogy for what it is. We heard at the beginning of the pandemic, it's a global pandemic. No one's safe until everyone's safe. And then we saw these vaccines produced in record time, which were a gift to humanity, except for we had again the global north say, yes, we're all going to take this, and you know, Martin, you've been vaccinated. I'm due to be vaccinated, and yet there's so many people in poorer countries who may not be vaccinated in 2022, 2023. We see arguments within the EU about the TRIPS waiver and what they're going to do. And this is similar, because if we don't accept that tax abuse means that there are less doctors in the global south, if we don't accept, you know, less teachers, less nurses, and less PPE for dealing with a pandemic, it's because of tax inequality that this happens. From Ireland's perspective, you pointed it out, Graziella, when you said that there was a lot of global leaders welcoming this, you know, smiling and taking pictures and saying it was historic. Our Minister for Finance was kind of, oh, yes, it's a good day for even. But we still have sovereign tax rules here. And, you know, we will continue to do these things. And I'm interested in, because and it's funny, I mentioned Kenya earlier, and the reason I mentioned Kenya is because we've spoken to Caroline Otham several times from the Fight Inequality Alliance, who's in Nairobi, and she talks about it. And this is very similar to what you, and she says that the pressure must come from the UN. It can't come from, you can't have these other people making the rules, these seven countries, and then, you know, the multinationals. You need the UN to actually do this. Is there, in terms of your head of campaigns and advocacy, how is the campaign going in terms of getting the UN to do anything, or is, or events like yesterday making that more difficult?
Well, the campaign for a UN tax body has been happening for years. We do actually have a huge campaign on this, on a UN tax body. And it's actually led by the Tax Justice Europe, which is one of the members of the Global Alliance for Tax Justice. And it's a request that has been heard and people are trying to move. For example, they've approved the FACT panel, which is like a space where they discuss inside of the UN structure some ideas to bring more transparency to tax problems. And one of the recommendations from this space that was built inside the UN was, we do need a UN tax body to discuss the international tax reform. So it was quite like the UN saying that it does need. So we are moving ahead on this, but it's far yet because it hasn't started. So we need kind of things to move a little bit faster. I'm sorry, Martin, just the question you had made, I've seen that I've brought my perspective from the Global South, and then I remembered something that the IMF said, and maybe it would be good for Ireland listeners to listen, is, for example, they said that if we don't vaccine the entire world, that will reduce the possibilities to actually recover the economy in a better way. So that will reduce trillions for the global economy because of making it late for Global South countries to receive vaccines. And I would say that not allowing Global South countries to tax with the same rights and with a good rate as global, North countries do, that too will hurt the economy, and that too will make it later for us to recover from the pandemic and the global economic crisis we're having. So if not for us here, for you too, because that will make your economy better.
That's a very good point, and it is a very good point. It's about bringing everybody's economy up to a level rather than, I mean, what the deal was yesterday was, we'll make sure that us in the north are okay, and then if there's a little bit of trickle down to the southern global countries, well, that's okay. If there's not, no big deal. Is it the right forum at all to be discussing it in the G7? Is it the right forum at all?
Well, something that is a global solution shouldn't be discussed by seven countries. That's one thing. If we're talking about a global problem that requires a global solution, that would require every country to be discussing and deciding on this. So I wouldn't say it's an appropriate forum, but it's the seven biggest economies. They usually do what they intend to do.
Well, whatever they want, really and truly. But it does take away from your efforts to get something happening in the UN when they're discussing it somewhere else, like the G7. Then the excuse is there, look, we've discussed it in the G7. Why do you need it in the UN? So how do you break down that barrier and get it through?
Yeah, well, actually, that's the excuse they use for the OECD. They say, we already discussed this matter on the OECD. We've created the BAPS inclusive framework where we have 139 countries discussing. Yes, they are discussing, but they are not actually being heard because they don't have the same right to vote. So if we don't give the same right to vote, to actually decide and not just discuss, that's not a fair place.
That's a crucial point because, again, knowing Ireland's tax infrastructure, you know, our companies that do the auditing and the accountancy and the tax consulting, they all make the point that we have... they'll say, oh, we have BAPS and we have this model and everything we do is in line with that. You know, we do this. But what that actually does is it gives cover to the ability to say we can do, we're in this agreement. But on the other hand, our domestic tax law, for example, if you do research and development in Ireland and you're a multinational, we will tax you 2%. And that is legal. That is our legal tax rate for some of these, what they call the knowledge box. So it means that it is actually in effect giving people, it's incentivizing people to not play fair with the 12, even our 12.5% rate. Can I suppose the last thing, Graziella, for me is there are going to be people who will listen to this and they will say, we are too negative, that it's not, you're being too negative. You're not talking about the fact that the G7 has agreed this. The reality of this is, though, as you've pointed out, seven economies have agreed this. That means that actually what it means is it's a better day for them. But I'm going to say this, in the global South, are those countries, how has it been perceived by the media? Say, for example, you said in Brazil, the media said it was a good thing, where, you know, so you're having other countries that are impacted by this. Is it a fact that we can't break through the message because we just, everything is captured? How does the global South react to this?
It's hard because when the G7 decide on this and they decide this on a closed space between them, but then they make a press release, and the way that they put out the message is quite important. So if they put out saying, we've reached an historical agreement on a global, a minimum rate for a global tax, a corporate tax, everybody's going to bring that news like something amazing. It is quite historical. They've decided, and you know, it is important. We are not saying that it's not important. It is important. It's the moment when they said what you've been talking about for years, it is possible. So this is important. What we're saying is that if we agree on this, especially the Global South countries, agree on this right now, this could be a shut up move. Like in the future, when people actually see the reality and see, oh, we are actually on a bad situation here, can we change? They're going to say, no, we've already agreed on this. What else do you want? So it's a way for a shut up way, like never talk about this again. So it's like if we say that the problem exists now, when everybody should be celebrating, it's like, you are so pessimist. Can't you be happy for something? You've been asking for this for years. And then when the bad situation comes, it's going to be, shut up. We did what you wanted. So when are we allowed to talk?
Yeah, it's the start of a conversation, not the end of one.
Yes, that's what I feel like. Let's start the conversation. Thank you for opening the conversation and let's move on it.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point to say. And I think it's going to have to happen or else it's always going to be very unfair.
Just conscious, I think that's a really good place where we will leave this today. But I just think from listeners' point of view, that is the idea that it's we need to understand that this is just a starting point. It's yes. if this was a 100-meter race, we've just completed the first 5 meters. We have a lot more of a race to run. It's a significant first 5 meters. It's nice to see that we've got out of the starting blocks, but it's just the beginning. It's not the destination, and people need to understand that this is what we need to actually give a shit about, particularly, again, I say as to our Irish audience, because we are going to have a lot of trouble in this country if our economy, corporation tax 50% of our receipts, of our total tax take from 5 companies. We are very vulnerable to these changes, and it could mean huge, significant shortfalls in our how we spend on education, on health, and all of these things, because we have built an economy based on this injustice and this tax abuse. Graziella, David, I want to thank you so much for talking to us again today. I want to condone and commend the work that the Global Alliance for Tax Justice do. I would recommend people check out the stuff. The link is in this podcast when it comes out. Please remember, tax can be boring to people. They think it's just, you know, it's numbers, but it means the teacher that your child needs to help them with their education. It means that nurse, it means that woman, that the carer that helps the elderly person. That's what we need that money for. It's not taxation, it's solidarity. And if it's not global, we're not really all in this together. And that's the truth about this. We'll leave it there, Graziella. I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for the work that you guys do, and for continuing to talk to us here in Dublin. We do appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Not at all.
You too,
guys. We actually have two podcasts tomorrow. We're covering the Iranian presidential election, which with our friend Seamus Malakazali, who is back, and we will have Martin. We have another podcast on events in the north this time.
We do, just finalizing that, Tony, so I won't put out any details till I just have it finalized.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going back to the attic.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks very much for listening, folks. We'll talk to you all very soon.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.